Just one side effect to this I need to warn you about that you may not care for. Your number of autograph requests through the mail will increase for a period of 2 or 3 weeks after this appears.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a problem?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good. Good. Some guys, most guys don't mind it, but every once in a while somebody doesn't seem to care for it.
It makes me feel good.
Good. Well, heck, it's nice to be remembered. Anybody who says otherwise is silly.
Well, yes, it's what you play for. It's a kid's game, so you enjoy it, and I like to help people if I can.
Good. That's a great attitude. That's good. Well, Will, usually most of the fellows tell me it increases sometimes by 3 or 4 times whatever they normally get.
It's a big business now, you know, nowadays with cards, I guess. You know?
Oh, it sure is. Yes, sir.
But that doesn't bother me. If I get a letter and I see some satire about it, I sign their cards and send them back to them. I don't have them. There's no problem with that for me.
Good, good. That's good. These too many of them. I don't know. I think they think they're being used, and I guess maybe some of the fellows are being taken advantage of. But
there's probably things have changed, but you're in a high mountain of business. You know, I'd be proud of yourself that you can do things like that.
Right. Yeah. It's a compliment, I think.
Well, sure, it's a compliment. I think just like you remember, it actually makes you feel good. You know, yeah, that's right. You know, years back, and baseball hasn't changed that much. Hell, home plate the same, not the same, you know.
Yeah. Maybe they're getting paid a little bit more, though.
Well, yeah, well, that's the lifestyle of everything nowadays, looks like.
That's, yeah, nothing's like it used to be.
No, but those days, I was very happy to play the big league. I was very fortunate.
Yes, yes, most of us would like to have, and most of us weren't able to.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed playing. It was fun.
Well, you had a good career too, which should make you proud.
Yeah, I classed myself as a good average major league ball player.
Well, probably a step above average, I think.
Yeah, and hustled. Some of these people, they say, well, he hustled. Hell, if you can't run to first base, you shouldn't be playing.
That's right. You had a reputation as a hustler too, much more so than. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not saying anything's different, but competition is a little tougher those days, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there were 16 teams. Now there's 26 going on 28.
Yeah, and two then, when I was playing, we had 59 minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Now you only got 10 or 12, you know.
Yeah.
I broke in D-ball. Hell, that's amazing. I broke in D-ball, and one club, Alexander, had Virgil Trucks and Hal Newhouser on it.
Yeah.
And that was Z-ball, you know.
Yeah. That was the Evangeline League, was it?
Yeah. One of those days, that's what professional sport was, baseball.
Right. That's right. The other things, football, basketball, hockey, I guess, they were just really feeling their way at that point.
Yeah.
Well, you signed, you say you broke in D-ball, you were 18 years old. Did you sign with the Browns or did you sign with Batesville?
No, I signed with the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah, I signed Brown with they had a workout camp and I in Los Angeles and Jack Fournier, the scout, he liked me, so he signed me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to spring training and I made a lot of clubs, and then nobody claimed me. If it wasn't for Jack Fournier, I probably got released, but I wasn't that big, you know. But he stayed with me and I had a good year.
You had a very good year. 328, was it 328? Yeah. How well did you know Jack Fournier?
Oh, Jack Fournier was about real well. Yeah, but if it wasn't for him, I never made it because he told me the Browns wanted to release me.
Oh yeah.
And he bet. And he bet the top supervisor of scouting.
Uh huh.
That I would hit 300. The guy said, "You're kidding." So he won his bet.
Yeah, he sure did. Fournier himself was a heck of a ball player.
Yeah, but in the old school, you know. The old tough Frenchman, that's right.
Yeah. Well, you played. You got up to the Texas League. You'd had four pretty good years. Then you got there in San Antonio in 1942. You had a real clunker. What happened?
I had to leave. I had to leave because my daughter was born in California, so I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke up my whole. whole year, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that sure will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got a, oh, heck, you've got a daughter my age. How about that? Well, you sure came back, though, the next year. You started out at Toledo, and they couldn't get you out.
I know. That was very fortunate to get hot, because those days, I think the right feeder for the Browns got hurt and something, so they had to bring me up, and I just got hot right quick, and I stayed.
Mm-hmm. You had a good second half of the season. The next year, you played on the only Browns pennant winner ever.
Yeah.
What are your, you have any special memories of that season?
Well, it was, it was just great because everybody pitches for last place, you know.
Yes.
And it was a war of years, but heck, we started off, I think we won 9 straight ball games on once it dawned on us, we can win this thing. And I was still a young ball player because we had a lot of veterans on the ball club, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was just an honor to get into it because, you know, it's a thrill just to get in the World Series.
And that series really could have gone either way.
That's right. If the ball bounces one way, we would have beat the Cardinals. That would have been a big upset.
Oh, that sure would. That would have been the biggest ever, I think.
But we woke them up after one of the first two.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a bad bounce here and there, and that's it.
Uh-huh.
Were you drafted then after that, or did you enlist?
No, I enlisted.
Okay, and you missed the whole 40.
See, my number was up, and as soon as the World Series over, the second day I was in the service.
Oh boy, they were waiting for you.
Yeah, but it worked out good for me because the reason why they had because I was married and I had a child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped for me finish the year.
But you just missed, the one season, which is fortunate. A lot of guys miss 2 and 3 years.
Yeah, well, when I got in, after one more year, the war was over.
Well, you came back out, and finally in 48, you had really an outstanding season, and was selected to the All-Star game.
Yeah, that was an honor, too. It's amazing because everything, I was a streak hitter, but it just seemed like I got off, and I just kept on going. It just one of those given years.
Uh-huh. Well, you had several good years, but that was maybe your best. What do you were 0-for-2 in the All-Star game. What happened? You recall?
Well, not too much in the All-Star game because I was picked because, you know, that'd be a Brownie player. And, of course, when you get the outstanding outfielders, I was probably the fourth or fifth outfielder, you know,
yeah.
In the second half.
But still, even though there had to be a Brown, it's still a heck of an honor, and you were having a good season. You sure deserved it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been very fortunate. I got in the All-Star game, and I got in the World Series.
And most guys don't get in either one. You got in both.
That's right.
Well, what did you think when you were traded to the Red Sox? How did you receive that trade?
Oh, it was a thrill. It was a shocker, but it was a thrill because here I'm going from the Browns to the Red Sox with Williams and Maggio and Bobby Doerr and that group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Vern Stevens, which I roomed with the Browns, Jack Kramer and Ellis Keller. It was a thrill because we had a chance to win the World Series, you know.
Right.
And I enjoy the Red Sox. Those days when you got traded, let's go, you know. There was no, I have to see my agent or as long as you get paid and you get the job, that's all that counts.
But you're getting paid to do it, and that's it. Well, 1950, the Red Sox, I believe, and I'm going to check this out, but I believe that was the last team to have a 300 batting average for a full season.
Yeah.
And you guys in the outfield, you, William, and DiMaggio hit over 300. The team scored over 1,000 runs, and I don't know if I wasn't aware of this, the lowest average of a regular on the team was Doerr's 294. Everybody else hit above that.
It was, I'm hitting about 330, and I'm hitting seventh in the lineup. there's the difference. We scored a lot of runs, but we're just as short as, we had two good pitchers, but we're just short of pitching. That.
Yeah, you had no depth at all in the pitching staff. Why? How did you guys hit so well? I mean, you know, Dropo came out of nowhere. Stevens drove in 150 runs or something like that. Why? How did you do that?
Well, because I think there wasn't a pressure on just on one ball player, because everybody picked each other up, everybody's having good years, and there wasn't so, well, I have to do this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was teamwork, you know, and just one of those given years, too.
It was a fantastic year for everybody on the team.
Because you didn't say, well, he has to play or we're not going to win, you know. No, we had eight guys who play.
But you lost Williams for 2 months, even then.
He came in service, yeah.
And then
he got hurt.
And Billy Goodman batted 350 for you.
That's right. Well, we had some guys win the bat.
That was a fantastic year for no team has done anything like that now in 40 years.
No, they were a happy group too.
But you had two games in which you tied records. Once you had two triples in one inning with the Browns. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Who, do you remember the pitchers?
I think it was Eddie Sant or Black. It's hard to say because it's so far back.
Yeah, that was 1946. What about the game you played against the Browns in 1950 where you had four doubles and a single? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that because I almost... Actually, I hit my fifth ball. I should have got five doubles.
That would have set the record.
Yeah, because I should have got five because that's amazing. We're so far ahead. I hit a line drive in the hole, and Roy Sievers, I remember so well, he made a diving catch out, I was an out. But as amazing after the game's over, he said, "I don't know why I made a diving catch. We're behind by 9.
20 runs.
Yeah. What was it, 29-6 or something like that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. But when you score that many runs, you have to do something.
Yeah, well, he's out there to play. Is there one game, was one of those games, or is there another game that you consider to be the best game you had?
I know. It's hard to say because I haven't picked one game, you know. What's the best? Because you go so far back, and it's hard to say because I really can't tell you, to tell you the truth.
Well, is there something that stands out as being maybe the biggest thrill you had when you play, as you played?
Well,
these are tough questions, I know.
Yeah, well, the biggest thrill for you was like playing in a World Series,
mm-hmm.
in the All-Star game, and playing with the Red Sox with Ted Williams and Don DiMaggio and Bobby Doerr in that group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with and Mr. Yawkey, the owner, was such a wonderful person, outstanding, you know.
Everybody I've spoken with.
The Browns were great, too, you know. How would you? If it wasn't for the Browns, I probably never made it.
Well, yeah, but you made it. You really did make it. I mean, you were a fine ball player. Okay, a question now. This was maybe related to the time. Well, it was. Nobody stole bases. But you were very fast.
Yeah.
Now, playing in St. Louis, of course, it's so hot there, I guess that was pretty much discouraged from stealing, but do you think today you'd have been a base stealer with your speed?
Well, probably it ought to be what type of ball club you're with, you know, with the ball club. See, if you're playing with the Browns, and we're always in second division, you're always 4 or 5 runs behind.
Yeah.
You can't be stealing because you're just giving yourself up. You gotta score some runs, you know.
Right.
Without stealing. But speed, the game has changed. I probably could have stole more bases, but you're with the Red Sox, everybody swings a bat. Then you're just trying to steal to get thrown out because the next guy behind might hit a double or triple.
Yeah, well, that's still true of the Red Sox. They complain about the Red Sox not stealing bases, but with their lineup, why should they?
Yeah, that's right, because we didn't ever steal any bases. Even the Browns, we didn't steal too many. Also, Bob Dillinger stole a lot of bases.
Yeah, well, he was exceptionally quick.
Yeah, he was exceptionally because Bob hit first and I hit second, which helped me, too.
Yeah. Well, you were a good base stealer in the minor leagues all the way through.
Yeah, I wasn't such a fast, but I had good instinct.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's half the battle, if not more.
That's the battle, you know.
Yeah. When you scouted for a while, is that what you went to after you retired?
No, after I retired, I managed 1 year in the minor leagues with a club organization, 1956.
Uh-huh.
And then after that, I went to, I was scouting with the Kansas City Ball Club.
How long did you scout?
I scouted in for about 4 or 5 years with them, and then Henry Peters was general manager, and he went to Cincinnati, so I went with him to Cincinnati. And I scouted with Cincinnati and Philadelphia and Montreal, Baltimore,
weren't you with Oakland for a while?
Yeah, oh, I scouted with Oakland too. And then I went to, I scouted for Major League Scouting Bureau.
Oh, okay. Is there anybody that you scouted and recommended that we'd know about?
Oh, yeah. Well, Diego Segui.
Oh, yeah. Gee whiz, a good one.
Yeah, I got him. Chris Chambliss, I had a lot to do with him.
Uh-huh, another good one.
And let's see, there was a few, I'm trying to think. Those are the two main ones, you know.
Yeah, those are real good ballplayers. Segui looked like he may have been just a step away from being one of the top pitchers in the game.
Oh, yeah.
He was awfully good.
Yes, he was. He had a great arm. And those guys, it's amazing. These guys go nine innings.
Yeah. Not anymore.
No, they have these, if you throw 100 pitches, you're getting tired.
I don't. You've got these guys in the bullpen who can throw hard. I think they couldn't go through the lineup twice, so that's all they can do is do it. The one inning.
Well, see, that's the theory is now is relief. Have a strong bullpen, which is good, it's natural.
Sure.
You got four starters like Cleveland had one year, Garcia, Lemon, Feller, and Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all won 20 games. You don't need no relief pitcher.
That's right.
Change.
Yeah, well, like anything, things change. Different ideas come up. Who was the best player you saw? Or the best hitter, maybe, either way?
Oh, probably all-around players, Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Because he could do everything so easy and so graceful, and his instinct, and everything he did was outstanding. And it was no... He did it so easy that you didn't believe it.
Uh-huh. That's what people tell me. Everybody I've asked from your time, and at least that played in the American League, has said he was the greatest.
And of course, most of the outstanding hitters, Ted Williamson, was not about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you got so many outstanding good ball players those days, you know.
Yeah, a couple of people have told me it would be easier to name the poor players than to name one or two guys who were good, because there were so many. Each team had four or five really good ball players.
Yeah. Because, like I say, competition is so tough those days. You had to produce or you're gone.
Yeah. You get a 220 outfielder back in those days, and he was out of there.
Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, now he's got a five-year contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, who was the best pitcher you saw, Al?
Oh, you got Feller. You got so many good ones that they're all so different. Yeah, of course, Bob Feller's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You got Bob Lemon and Newhouser, Ernie Wynn, and Dick Rashie, Reynolds. I mean, you name it, because they had some good pitching those days.
Yeah. What do you think of Newhouser's election to the Hall of Fame here last month?
Newhouser?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it was about time, wasn't it?
Yes, right, because you have to go by the record. Don't wait till some years. The record proves what he could do, what he did.
Yeah.
But his RC hauling around, I guess.
Everybody claimed he was a war pitcher, but he was still a 20-game winner after the war was over.
Nah. Yeah, well, you got to talk about this, but like Dizzy Trout and the rest of them, what the hell do you get? Hell, these guys, how many years did he pitch?
Yeah, he was still pitching in the 50s.
Well, that's right, sure.
Yeah.
He was still pitching, sure.
Trout was a heck of a good pitcher, too.
That's right.
Excuse me. Way back at the start of this, I mentioned the autograph request. How much fan mail do you get on the average?
I average at least two or three a day.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes I wonder where they get these postcards or even pictures of me. I look at it and I say, where do they get these? You know?
Well, I can tell you, there's a fellow out of Chicago who sells them. George Brace, the photographer. He sells them. I think he sells them for $2 or $3 a piece.
Yeah. And once the kid signs to me, and he said, would you sign this? And he said, yeah. And I analyze it, and I say yes. But if I think he's a hustler, I'll say no.
Good. Well, yeah. Somebody sends you one or two pictures, but, you know, the guy sends you 10 or 12. That's not right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, they send something out because they don't throw in trouble. What the hell? What's an autograph? You know?
Yeah, well, it makes somebody feel good. It makes you feel good because you remembered. It's good for everybody.
Well, sure, but I wasn't planning that. Nobody knew if I was living.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's an honor. And some fellows have said this. You said it. That's the right attitude. These guys that think it's something wrong with it, they're sick.
Well, it's nice to walk down the street and say, well, that's so-and-so. You know,
sure.
You know, actually, when you see your name in the paper, you know, well, so-and-so did this when, you know, you feel good.
Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's all about.
Well, yeah.
Do you have any regrets from your career?
No.
Good.
No. I've been very fortunate. Very fortunate because I got the big leagues and I stayed there for almost a little over 10 years, and I was very fortunate. So I have no regrets at all.
Would you go back and do it all again?
You damn betcha.
Good.
Yes, sirree.
Good.
It's a fun game. You make money, you're earning money, there's something to reach, all you're doing.
Yeah.
You're your own boss. Everything you do, you're actually by yourself when you're playing. Nobody can tell you where to hit and where to feel the ball, the throw, where to throw, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
good life, and it opens a lot of doors.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Well, you get paid for having fun.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, Al, thank you. Let me, I'm going to take me a few days to type this up, but would you like to see a copy before I send it to the magazine?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you. In fact, I will not send it to the magazine until I send it to you and get your approval.
Yeah. Have you got my address?
Yes, sir. Do you have, would you like some copies of the magazine when it's printed?
Oh, I appreciate that. I really would.
Okay, how many would you like?
Oh, I don't know. How many copies? What, 3 or 4 would be fine?
Okay, sure.
I appreciate it.
It will probably be, the average waiting time is 4 to 6 months from the time I send something in until it's printed.
But you do have my address.
Yes, sir. Let me see. For the number 809.
809, right.
Honolulu, yeah. When did you move to Hawaii, by the way?
Oh, I moved here 18 years ago.
You like it?
Oh, I love it here. See, when I first came over here, I got a job as a scouting viewer, and then I got and then they hired me as a coach for the Islanders, the Coast League.
Oh, yeah, great.
And we won a championship when I was here in 75. We won a championship in 75, 76, the championship here. And I was the coach for him.
And so you just hung around?
Yeah, I live here. I just got it, and I retired about 3 years ago.
That sounds good.
I still help out if I see some prospects here, if somebody wants information.
Has anybody, I guess what, Sid Fernandez is out of Hawaii and one or two others. Have anybody else recent come out of there?
We got Fernandez, we got Braggs, Grimm.
Oh, I didn't realize he was from Hawaii.
Yeah, Grimm. Well, yeah, he went to university here.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Big, strong boy.
Yeah.
Huh.
They have a good baseball program here. And they love baseball here.
Good. Well, it should be an ideal place for it with the climate and everything.
Yeah, because when I started Sid, when he was in high school, at the Kaiser High School.
Uh-huh.
A lot of scouts brought their radar gun, you know, over here.
Yeah.
They say, you don't throw hard enough. I said, take that gun and shove it someplace. I said, it's what you do when you cross the white line.
That's right. That's absolutely.
Some of the pitchers made the big leagues, like Tommy John or Eddie Lopez, with kind of radar guns, they never made the big leagues.
They'd never been signed.
Yeah.
This
guy's in the world ahead.
It's so very frustrating. I've got a son who pitches in college right now, and he does not throw hard. He's a left-hander, but he doesn't throw hard. But he wins. But every time scouts come out, they've got the gun on him, and they see that he's throwing 78, 80, 82, but he wins. And
that's what you do when you cross that white line. You know, nobody's gets with acting like a Nolan Ryan can throw the ball 95, 9. Nobody's just gifted. He's born that way.
That's right.
But how many pitchers don't throw hard that win?
Yeah. They clocked this boy, Doug Jones, is now with Houston. He's pitching against the Reds the other day. They clocked him at 51 miles an hour on one pitch, and he retired 6 straight batters and got the save.
That's right, because the hardest thing in the world to hit is off-speed pitches and changes.
Yeah, right. You know where you're throwing them.
Because if you can't hit the fastball, you're not going to hit.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the other stuff. You have to guess what to get. You got to hit the pitcher's best pitch.
Uh-huh.
And That's Williams used to tell me. He said, he's a good curveball pitcher, and the jam's going to get the curveball.
Yeah. You can't hit that. The if they can't hit the fastball, they don't get anywhere. They've got to. Yeah, you're right.
You got to be quick. If you're not quick, you're not going to. Because that's the name of the game.
Yes, sir. Well, Al, thank you very much for your time. I hope I haven't spoiled your...
It was my pleasure. Nice talking to you.
Well, I will send you a copy of this as soon as I get it typed. Like I said, it'll probably be the first or the middle of the week now before I get around to getting it finished. And I will wait to hear from you before I send it into the magazine.
Okay.
In case I...
Thank you very much.
I don't want to be misquoted.
Nice.
Thank you, Al, and I really appreciate your time, sir.
Well, it was my pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, believe me.
It's good to be remembered.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wednesday, 9:42 p.m.